Thank you very much. Mike is a very good warmer-upper. Warmer-upper? Is that a good word? Hello, I'm Nick still, and I'm still married to Maggie, which is one pretty much the best thing in my life, actually. I was saying you were brilliant. Don't worry, darling. So, yeah, that is really interesting. I'm quite pleased, actually, because we were kind of... When we were thinking about why you come to church and why you stay at church or any other kind of Christian meeting, the whole sort of community thing, we were thinking of that kind of thing about being invited and then being welcomed. And it's, for a lot of us, the reasons we've joined in with these things and the reason we've stayed is because we were invited and we felt welcomed when we got there. So God uses people's actions to give others a glimpse of his glory and to call them to him. I read this passage by Leighton Ford, who I've discovered is the brother-in-law of Billy Graham. And I quite like what he wrote. He said, "When the lost are found, it gives joy to God, joy beyond our ability to comprehend. We should ask ourselves, is there anything in my life this day that has opened the door for a prodigal daughter or a prodigal son to come back home? Is there anything I have done today to bring joy and pleasure to the Father's heart?" Now, you can always paraphrase it, the open the door for a prodigal daughter, a prodigal son to come back home, to be basically, is there anything I've done to help someone to come and meet with Jesus, to come and know God? I love that idea of anything I've done to bring joy and pleasure to the Father's heart. You know, it reminds me that there is so much more to worshipping God and giving him pleasure than just singing songs or going to church. As we help people to draw nearer to Jesus, that's part of our worship. And that's really cool. I was thinking about this idea of being actively involved in letting people know about Jesus. And I thought we'd start looking at a story that Jesus told, taken from the book of Luke. Now, to set the scene, Jesus had been invited to the home of a prominent Pharisee. The Pharisees were men of... religious and political influence at the time, and they were sat around having a meal on the Sabbath. It would probably have been a rather tense occasion because Jesus had already healed a man, which was kind of challenging for the religious leaders who were there because it was on the Sabbath. And, you know, was that breaking the Sabbath rules, which said you shouldn't engage in work? Or was it a demonstration of God at work, choosing his own priorities? I know which one I kind of think of, but I know the Pharisees might have been having a bit of a tense moment with that. Then Jesus pointed out how many of them had been jockeying for the best position at the meal table. They were sat around. They were trying to get the greatest social standing and favour at the occasion. And Jesus said that God wants those who aren't looking for favour with men, but with him. Again, kind of raising the pressure, raising the tension. So they're at this meal, possibly feeling a little uncomfortable, possibly not understanding what Jesus is getting at in his parables. Maybe they're looking around at which of those around them they reckon Jesus was having a go at. You know, rather than looking at their own hearts, they were thinking, him at the top of the table, he's the one who's the least, because I'm right at the back, so obviously I'm going to be exalted and it's great. You know, and kind of just trying to see who's the best one around. But while all this tension is going on, Jesus hits them with another parable. And I'm always amazed by... how Jesus makes such deep points and challenges people, both then and now as well, with such simple stories. I think they're very clever. Obviously, he was God, so that's kind of all right. So Luke 14, 16 to 23, let's read it. It's the parable of the great banquet. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Okay. Everyone there would have probably known that the image of a banquet or a great feast was a well-known picture used to describe salvation or inclusion in God's kingdom. And I think it's still a good way to think of how God wants to bless us, to enjoy spending time together, us with him, and him with us. And it also was common at the time for upper-class Jewish or Roman hosts to send out an invitation to let people know that there was going to be a meal, and then send out the servants a second time to call them when the meal was ready. So that was kind of a standard thing. I mean, the excuses that people made to miss the feast were a bit rubbish, though. It was kind of obvious they were just excuses, but the reasons they gave are quite interesting. They're all kind of preoccupied with money, business deals, and family matters. And that's interesting because a little bit later on, Jesus goes on in verses 25 and 26 to warn his followers not to love anything more than God. Now, he's not saying that these aspects of life are wrong, but he is saying that these things can get in the way of our relationship with him. I think the parable, this story, reveals God's heart for those that don't know him. He doesn't want any empty seats. He wants everyone to join him. And the king's insistence that he wanted the servants to keep getting more people underlines how deeply God wants his people to receive this offer to join him. So I thought it's quite a relevant passage for us as a community. I think currently we're focusing on stepping out, being friendly, sharing our story. And it kind of that resonates with me, and I hope it does with you too. I'd hope that you'd agree with me that, on the whole, we at Wharfdale Vineyard are pretty good at being welcoming. I know I felt so welcome from the moment that I first stepped through the door of the first Wharfdale Vineyard meeting I went to, and that really hasn't changed. It was the moment I walked in, I just felt, this is a place where I can be at home. You know, you know somewhere that straight away relationship was going to happen, because it's just that was just written all over all the people there, and each person that spoke to me welcomed me, and it felt real, it felt authentic, which I think that's brilliant. You know, we want anyone that interacts with our community to feel blessed and accepted and to experience the riches of God's kindness, tolerance and patience. However, the whole point of putting on an amazing banquet is so that people will come and enjoy it. So in order for us to be welcoming, then there need to be people for us to welcome. That's where we need to do what the servants did in the passage that we've just read. They went out again and again to bring in anyone and everyone to enjoy the feast. And we need to invite people to come to know Jesus, to hang out with us as we live lives full of his Holy Spirit. We've already got so many ways that we can invite people, whether it's to go and hand out free donuts before watching the fireworks, or to bring their kids to get some Brazilian soccer coaching, just meeting for coffee or going to the pub and sharing in their lives, maybe even inviting them to house group or weekly worship. Each time we think about being welcoming, we need to remember the step that goes before it, which is being inviting. I'll say that again. It's each time we think about being welcoming people, we need to remember the step that goes before it, which is being inviting. In the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome, which was about 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, Paul says this. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I think he makes a really good point. Each one of us has been invited into a wonderful experience of God's love, blessing, and eternal life through Jesus. It is good news for us and for those who we share it with. But we are an integral part of God's plan. People who don't know him get to know him through us, through what we do. So let's allow his Holy Spirit to prompt us and encourage us to invite others to join in with us at his feast. It's lovely and it's amazing to be able to welcome people, but that's where we need to invite them to come in so we can welcome them to know Jesus. So following that, Sarah is going to help us with a practical way to focus on being inviting Christians. If you'd like to come up.
Okay, lovely. Well, what we'd like to do is we'd like to encourage you to get involved in a little activity. We have some cards that have the verse, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news" on them. And what we'd love you to do, if you feel like you want to, think about practical things that you could do that could maybe invite people into this, about what Nick was talking about. What practical steps can you take to tell people about Jesus and invite them into this story that we have and what we've been told about? So there are a number of ways that you can do this. You can just take a card and think about something and then just stick this card on the fridge or on the side and use this card to help you remind yourself of what you've written. You can actually write down your actual step of what you would like to do to be inviting. And another thing you can do is write on two cards the same thing, and on the back of one of them, write your address and your name on it, and we will send you back this card to remind you of the step that you would like to take. And we could do this in a couple of months. And it's just to encourage you in this process, because these things can take time, and that's okay. It's just to help to remind us that we want to take these steps and we want to be inviting. So we're going to have these in the corner of the room. We've got a little basket thing that if you want to put your name and address on one of the cards with your little thing written on it, you just need to put it back in the basket, or you can take it away with you. And I think some music's going to be playing. If none of that didn't make sense, then come and ask me and I'll explain it again. But I think it's clear. Just write down some steps that you would like to take to be more inviting, and you can use as many as you like and write your address and name on it as well. Lovely.
So if there's any of you that's still writing, then I apologise to interrupt. But that's been really cool. Please feel free to grab any more of those if you want to, because they're nice little cards just as a reminder to say how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, which I think is really cool. I'm going to kind of stick one on my desk just to remind me to go out and invite people. We really felt that kind of God's here and he's moving and kind of moving among us, and I think it'd be really important if we spent some time just waiting on God, seeing what he's saying, because I think some people already have been hearing from God, maybe got some words and pictures and stuff, and I don't want to leave without hearing what God's got to say. So shall we all stand? Father, I thank you that your Spirit is already here. And I thank you, Lord, that you're amazing and that you want to spend time with us. But we just ask in Jesus' name now, Lord, for more of you, for more of your presence. We ask that this place, the air would be thick with the presence of your Holy Spirit. I ask that you would come and minister to us. I ask that you would give us pictures, that you'd speak words to us, and either speak directly to us or speak to someone else to pass on something, you know, to just to confirm a truth or to give us another step of the way. We surrender this time to you, Lord. And we wait on you and we say, come, come, Holy Spirit.